You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And this evening I'm speaking to Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. I can't get excited, Nick. I can't get excited about the market. I mean, it's up. It's beautifully higher at 1%, I think, on the all-share last time I looked. S&P up around about, I don't know, 0.6, 0.7%. But it's not exciting me. I need some excitement. Can you give me any excitement?
Yeah, you know, Lindsay, it's not, I don't know what the expression is. It's almost, you know, I'm used to sort of markets grinding higher, but they normally grind when there's probably a lot of shorts out there or people just, you just have this sort of grind into month end or something like that. But this market movement the last couple of days, it's almost the point of least, or the sort of least resistance to the upside. So the market is literally going up. I can't really pinpoint a reason for it other than that this is the third Monday. Monday is obviously the designated day to release vaccine news because the first Monday we had, as we said, Pfizer and BioNTech, and that gave the markets a big push. S&P's actually got to new highs on that day, and we saw that massive rotation on that Tuesday and Wednesday back into value and out of tech. Last week, Monday, was the Moderna news, and we saw a bit of a pop there, too. And this Monday is the turn of AstraZeneca and Oxford to come out of their news, and we've seen a bit of an S&P pop as well. But it's almost now, I don't know, you mentioned not getting excited. I feel the same. It's like, okay, where to from now? Where to from here?
Maybe it's Black Friday. Maybe Black Friday will give the retail industry. Yeah. Maybe people will just go completely berserk on Black Friday. Is it this Friday? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, because Turkey Day is on Thursday when all the Americans stuff their face with delicious turkeys and cranberry sauce. Yeah.
Right.
So then it is the Friday when they go out to their credit cards and they smash them all, or online this time, I guess. So it's certainly, yeah, you're right. It's this Friday. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the catalyst. Maybe we'll know the following Monday. Maybe we'll get another Monday of movement. But yeah, this general malaise in the markets is, I don't know where to from here. I mean, it's a very difficult market to trade, and you do get the feeling those who aren't involved are certainly probably just observing at the moment.
Well, if I can take my cue from you, I mean, you wake up in the morning at 5:30. The first thing you do is you set up your 17 screens and you have a look at them all and you see what's going on with the Western Canadian Select crude oil price versus the Brent crude oil price. You do all sorts of fancy things that are beyond my ken. Just noting your tone from this morning and now, you're a little bit fed up with 2020, and I just feel that the market is going up because it's going up, and people may be fed up with it going up. Not fed up with it going up, but just not enthusiastic about the reason for it going up. That's my psychological sentiment.
Yeah, you're probably not far off, Lindsay. I mean, I look for anomalies in the marketplace. And I mean, I make my money and make my money for clients looking for the things are out of sync or out of whack. And,
yeah,
you know, I look at correlations. So I need oil to do this. So I need the rand to do that. And I look for something that might be mispriced. And I want to take advantage of the mispricing in the market.
Nice.
But it's almost like nothing is mispriced. Volatility is low. The VIX is very low. The rand is certainly behaving itself after the ratings downgrade. The bonds are behaving themselves. U.S. 10-year is behaving. Tech shares are grinding higher and almost hitting new highs. It's almost like everything is behaving, and you need something to fall out of the lane. I don't know if that's the right explanation, Lindsay, but it's almost like everything's going in the right direction. Everything's going smoothly. Everything's in the green. You need something to fall out of whack. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Mr. Trump and the Supreme Court. I don't know. But for now, I mean, I shouldn't be moaning because, I mean, everything's in the green and, you know, it's a solid day and it's good for clients.
You're making money.
But you're right. But you need something just to shake things up a little bit. Or maybe we just indoctrinated after such a wild 2020. You know, maybe with these wild moves that we've had this year, we used to sort of years of going nowhere. All of a sudden, this year has shaken the cage a bit. And now we're back to where we are, and we're thinking, sure, maybe we need that volatility again, but I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, we might be sort of 5-6 weeks away from year end, and that's where we're going to be grinding into year end.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we've become greedy with all the volatility that we've had
exactly.
In 2020. Let's just look back. I mean, we did cover a couple of these stocks this morning. Pepcor, Prosus, Naspers coming up their results. And maybe you could just refresh us and tell us exactly what, first up, of course, are the two most important stocks on the JSE Securities Exchange, Naspers and Prosus. How did the share prices pan out after those results this morning?
Very solid session. As we spoke this morning, we said it wasn't, we've just had sort of trading updates a few days ago, so it was never going to deviate much. But I think just a reassessment that things are going very well in that tech space, and those shares are trading significantly under what we call sort of the value of the rump, so to speak. Anyway, Prosus 2.67% up, sort of on the highs of the session. Yeah. And the same goes for Naspers. Very solid day. It was 3,100 when we chatted this morning, closed at 3,203, up 2.62%. There was a dial into management, I believe, this afternoon. I'll give you guys feedback in the morning when I get back from my team. So obviously, Mr. Van Dyk saying the right things. And I see he was quite a bit on the airways this morning. He was up very early on Bloomberg TV. It must have been about 6:30 this morning, so that must have been pretty much similar time in Europe. Is it? What's the difference between SA? It's about the same, isn't it?
You're an hour ahead of us.
Hour ahead. So that was 5:30 in the morning. He made himself available for a call in Bloomberg. So
nice.
Yeah, so doing the rounds, saying the right things, and yeah, stock price certainly moving in kind. And I think the majority of the move today is all share, almost just over 1% higher. Is certainly on the back of a big move in these two shares.
Does it seem slightly bogus to you that when a market goes up, it's because of a share or two shares that are 21% of the index, and also because the share or the 21% of the index has announced that it's going to launch a share repurchase and share purchase? I mean, doesn't that say something to you? Doesn't it say, well, the market's going up because of financial engineering?
It's a difficult question to answer, is my answer to you. We had this conversation this morning, actually, on our morning call, because we were sort of leaning the way you're saying now, and the Naspers analyst and Prosus analyst said to us, well, you know, you can't have it all the ways. You know, you can't have it both ways. You know, the management, Mr. Van Dyk, has got a commitment to shareholders, has been brought on board to deliver value and to realize value, because for years, we've known that Naspers trades a significant discount to its holding.
But the discount has widened now. The discount has become...
So he hasn't done his job,
is what you're saying.
Well, the other argument to that, and I'm completely neutral on this. The other argument to that was, well,
yeah, of course
he's
you
been
are.
Doing everything he wanted to do. You know, he has spun it off. He has spun off Prosus onto the Amsterdam bourse. They are doing a share buyback. They're trying to close that gap. So, I mean, that's the... As I said, the sort of neutral stance. He's been doing everything he can. The fact that the market's saying, well, actually, we still think we need to realize more value, or you need to spin off more of these unlisted entities which are within this process stable to realize more value. Maybe that's what you're going to have to do. So it feels like a little bit of a tug of war between management and process.
I obviously understand the difference between Naspers and process, but what I also understand is that whatever they try to do hasn't worked. There's something wrong here somewhere. Mm. You've got Tencent, you've got Prosus, you've got Naspers, and there's something definitely wrong. And either the hedge funds are getting it wrong, or they've got it wrong. I just don't understand it. I really need a giant brain to come and tell me what's going on.
Yeah. Look, ultimately, I mean, the elephant in the room is obviously Tencent.
Yes.
It's 80% of the value of these process.
I think it's 84%, isn't it? Something.
Or is it 84, 87? Well, it's
something giant.
Anyway, it's in the mid 80s. I can come out by numbers rather than so much numbers today on the back of it. But so let's call it 84. So it's 84% of its value of its holding is just Tencent.
Right.
At some point, you know, it's been rumored for years is that they're probably going to have to spin that Tencent holding off and realize value. I mean, that is how you're going to do it. That automatically will close the gap. The problem we've got. And you listened to Chris Becker before he took a back seat, sort of quietly in the background to Mr. Van Dyk at the moment.
Yes.
And his answer has always been to journalists and analysts and saying, well, what are you going to do with the money? You know, we got to try. Everyone's looking for us to find the next 10 cent. And we don't know if we can yet. You know, so, and looking further, Lindsay, than what they've done with the share buyback. you know, you, I think you mentioned it's almost like a little bit of arrogance, saying, well, we can't find value anywhere else. We might as well buy our own shares because they're worth more than
anyone
else.
It's not just them. It's South Africa in general. When you see over the last few weeks, a lot of companies have initiated share buybacks. I mean, the company that you know very well, Impact, they've started buying back their own shares. Mm. And it's not their fault. It's just that the South African economy and the sub-Saharan African economy is not vibrant enough for them to find a new packaging company in terms of Impact. And Naspers and Process, of course, can't find anything on our continent, I don't think anyway, that can do anything. So they have to buy back their shares or pay a special dividend.
It makes you wonder, this is an interesting debate we could probably have with David tomorrow.
Let's do so.
I'd be interested to know what his thought is, because if these companies weren't listed, so these companies like Naspers, for example, they have they list on exchange because they want to raise funds, they want to have a secondary listing, they're looking for exit strategy. There's a number of reasons why they go to credit markets. But one of the reasons, they do have an obligation to shareholders, whether it's one person holding one share or someone, an institution holding a gazillion shares, they have an obligation to shareholders. And one of their obligations at a board meeting is return value to shareholders, either by dividends or in this particular case, share buybacks. And they've deemed the best way to return value to their shareholders who have taken faith in the company and they get a vote is to do a share buyback. Question being, like, if they weren't publicly listed companies and they could not have the ability to buy their own shares in the open market,
yes.
Well, then the question is, they might not be trading. They wouldn't have that visible discount on an exchange. What would they do with that money? You know, how would they return money to the board? Kind of thing. So it gets very interesting, actually. It's a long conversation.
I don't know either. But do you think that this is a bigger question for a bigger forum? Do you think that a stock market listing is now not becoming obsolete, but becoming questionable when it comes to the alternatives? In other words, staying private, going with a private equity company, because it just seems to me that it's expensive to be on the exchange. So many people are leaving the exchange, and I don't mean just the JSE Securities Exchange, but leaving other exchanges. Do you think it's starting to become a viable option not to be listed and do something else and do it in private, in other words, behind closed doors?
Yes, it's a very difficult one. Look, I've spoken to clients on both sides of the fence. They head up publicly listed companies and they're private as well. And I would have to say the majority of them would probably maintain a private entity as opposed to a listing. And only because, you know, also I think people really forget that the reasons that companies go to the marketplace to get a secondary listing or a listing on the market, primary listing, is to raise funds. They need to raise capital, so they go to the capital markets, and that's why
stock exchanges are recession. You can do that so easily these days with 0% interest rates.
Yeah, but back in the day when you had to raise money and you went to your bank manager and the overnight rate was 12, 15, 16% and you needed to borrow money for your company, is a very different scenario than going to the exchange now. Say you're a European company, you issue a bond. I mean, you're issuing bonds that even don't even pay returns anymore, Lindsay. They don't even pay a coupon. You can go and list a bond for a billion quid, list it, you get to basically you place that bond with a bunch of through an institution, you don't have to pay anyone anything. In fact, in some cases, the negative rates in Europe, you're getting paid to raise that money. So why on earth would you list on a stock exchange? Because it's now far more easier with financial engineering and the way the world is upside down with negative rates to raise money that way. Now, it does beg the question.
What happened on the stock exchange news service
today? Quite a bit.
Let's talk about Pepkor. They came out with results, I think. That was the other one, apart from Process and Naspers. Was it Pepkor? Yes.
Yes, Pepkor Holdings, the PPH. Yes. They came up before at 8 o'clock this morning. Not great. Market, I think we've seen a very similar price action to what we saw with ShopRite a week or so ago. You know, they've had quite a strong run into these, and they've sold off afterwards. And not as bad as the ShopRite down 8.5% a week ago, but still Pepkor, in a positive 1% market, it was down 1.82%. So certainly I think they missed a little bit on the outlook wasn't that positive.
And you sound as though you don't care, although obviously you have shareholders within your company.
No, we do have exposure to Pepkor. We do actually like it, but, right. You know, it's had a It's kind of been one of those shares that hasn't done a lot. You know, it's certainly sort of grounded along the side for the last week or two. It's done nothing, but people were waiting for this trading update. But given what we had out of the lights, I guess also, you know, Spar coming up with such a good number a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Pepco, I thought, was a little bit disappointing.
Spot prices look like this. Dollar Rand, 15.43. British pound against the Rand is 20.58, and the Euro Rand is 18.26, with the Euro dollar 118.35. That's about a quarter of a percent rally for the US dollar against the mighty Euro. The gold price, because of that, oh my goodness me, look at this thing. 1837, the gold price, down $36 an ounce, or nearly 2%. That has broken all sorts of technical levels. We'll talk about that later. The platinum price is down only 15 in comparison to 939, down 1.6% though. Palladium is what, Nick?
No, palladium's actually holding okay. It's actually square at the moment, just up $2 at $2,335.
West Texas crude is down, up 0.4% to $42.58 per barrel. Brent crude is $45.35 per barrel, up 0.9%. Brent has been gaining against US partner in the last week or so. That gap has widened. I have to talk about gold quickly because it makes me slightly nervous because I've been stopped out of my gold position. I was long at 1905. I've recently been stopped out at the $50 mark. What's happened to gold? Is it that slight dollar strength that has helped its precipitation to the downside?
I think it's more to do with the fact that risk appetite now is into equities and value, and if you look at what these bond yields are doing as well, these bond yields are squeezing higher, which explains why the dollar is stronger too. So that, you know, that US 10-year back at 0.93, it was down. You know, it really is threatening to break 1%.
Yeah.
Higher interest rates, bond yields are squeezing higher, stronger dollar, just not a place you want to be in gold. And throw in the fact that, you know, as we said, three Mondays in a row, positive vaccine news, risk on, you know, that safe haven play of gold is certainly becoming less. But it also throws that argument out the window completely.
Yeah.
We've seen so many talking heads the last couple of weeks with Bitcoin rallying to $18,000, saying, you know, the oldies get into gold and the newbie, the millennials, get into Bitcoin. Well, I'd love to see a spread between Bitcoin and gold in the last few days because they are going the other way. So
where's Bitcoin now? Exactly what I was going to ask you. Where is Bitcoin at the moment, please?
Well, let's have a look. I can give you the live price now. And 18,390. I've got the price down 1%. 18,393.
Which is up or down on the day?
It's down. It's down 1%, which is a fairly dead day for Bitcoin.
Exactly. With gold down nearly 2%. I mean, that's pretty good. I don't understand. I don't understand it actually. I mean, I don't even know what a Bitcoin is. But anyway, that's for another discussion. Give me the live Dow Jones, S&P, and Nasdaq, if you would.
Okay, live prices, here we go. S&P futures are up a percent, 17, almost 18 points higher, 35.72 last price, so solid day. Dow Jones the same, value is back in play because the Dow Jones outperforming the S&P and the Nasdaq. Dow Jones up 0.84 of a percent, and the Nasdaq is currently up, there we go, how's it for a spread? So Nasdaq's up 0.1,
yeah.
S&P is up 0.5. And the old-fashioned Dow Jones Industrial up almost 1%. So huge difference between, you can see that value in tech play once again today.
Lovely old-fashioned. Let's have a look at the top five major movers on my screen. And it's not a motley bunch because I don't want to be disparaging about the companies I'm going to read out now. NEPI Rockcastle up 9.2%. Sirius up 8.2%. Italtile up 5%. Montauk up 4.7%. And MC Group, I understand that one. That's a multi-choice. Up 4.4%. On the downside, I understand this one. Telkom down 7.75%. Goodness knows why. Anglo Gold Ashanti down 5.6%. I understand that one very well because the gold price is solidly below 1850. Goldfields 5.5% weaker. Harmony down 5.2%. And DRD Gold down 4.2%. I'm starting to lose faith in gold, Nick, which is probably the time to start buying it.
It probably is the time to start buying. There are some big moves there. I'm just looking at some of these share prices. I mean, Harmony Gold.
Yes.
That was 120 a month ago.
It's now 67.
So it's almost a 50% drop in a month.
But Nick, that tells the story of the gold shares leading the gold price. I mean, it's an old mm-hmm. adage, and it's, you know, it's something that you would be sitting down with in a pub after a vigorous day's trading on the JSE. You'd sit down with the bloke and say, oh, well, you know what, the shares are down, so the gold price is going to go down. And, you know, it becomes a bit tired. But it's really worked in the last month or so.
It's really worked. And funny enough, along that same, on the same train of thought, I got a really detailed note this morning from Alice talking about the FANGs and comparing the FANGs to the NASDAQ and the S&P and how we've had all-time highs in the S&P. And if you look at that particular basket, it hasn't been validated by the actual individual shares hitting new highs. And it reminded me very much of that Dow Jones Transports. Remember, Lindsay, used to,
yes.
you know, if you wanted, if the Dow Jones Transports had to hit a new high at the same time as the Dow Jones Industrials to confirm the sort of the breakout. And his argument, very compelling, was that these tech shares haven't done that. So you'll probably start to see those techs pull back in the rotation into value, which is exactly what we're seeing now.
No, put in simple terms to me, what are you saying? Mm. Sell the techs, sell the FANGs.
What I'm saying now is sell the techs, get back into value. And in fact, I looked, I actually couldn't believe it. I was trying, because I was looking for, try to get exposure to hospitality and leisure offshore.
Right.
And there's an ETF. I'm not in my office at the moment because we had power failures and all sorts. But
that's
I wrote
a shame.
It down. There's an ETF
yes.
that has exposure to the hotels. It has Marriott, Hilton, a few of the others, and it has Carnival Cruises.
I was going to say.
It has quite a nice mix. You must see a chart of this ETF. It's up like 40% in a month. Literally. I was like, no, I can't buy this, because one of my colleagues was saying, no, you must put them into this ETF. I'm like, I just can't do that.
The trend is your friend.
But you're really seeing this flow in, is sort of under the surface happening already and aggressively. Eh? Just another thing, I'm on this, again, we can bring this conversation up maybe tomorrow night, but I saw a note out of UK retail that UK retail sales in a lot of the retail high street, a lot of the sort of online shopping, and that UK retail sales online was 18% of before COVID of online shopping.
What is it now? 43?
Not as much as that, but I'm still quite surprised. It's 36.
That's not bad.
It's almost double. But interesting, like,
it's exactly double, actually. What is 2 times 18? 36? Yeah, it is.
It's exactly double. Yeah. But the question is, like, what happens when we have a vaccine? Because on the 1st of December, the UK are rolling out 10 million vaccines from the 1st of December to NHS staff and to frontline workers. And I think France has secured about 40 million doses from the second week in December. So in the next couple of weeks, we're rolling the vaccines out. It's happening. You know, we are starting to get back to normal. What happens to all these high-flying things like Zoom and all this online shopping? Do people still continue to online shop to the extent it was double it was 9 months ago?
Yes, they do. I mean, the first thing that certain people will do is like you getting out of prison, as I've said to you before. Mm. You get out of prison, the first thing you want to do is go to the pub or go to the shops and do normal things. And so when the vaccine comes and you're allowed to go out and do normal things, you go and do them. And then you think, actually, I quite like sitting at home and buying something from Amazon. I don't really want to go to Marks and Spencer's, Woolworths, H&M, or something like that. It's boring. I really think that these habits have become ingrained, and it's a great show for the end of the year between not just you and I and David Shapiro, but with a few other people. We should really do it. We should have a round table. I don't want to go. I don't want to go back to shops. Do you want to go back to the shops?
And a smelly.
And mix with smelly people.
I'm never, ever going back. If you see me there, you can shoot me.
You're not going back to the shops, is that what you're saying?
No, to a gym. That's the one place.
Oh, sure, a gym? No, of course, gyms are dead.
Giant Petri dish. Never, ever am I going back to a gym.
Have you ever been to one of those gyms where there's this big beefy chap with a couple of tattoos and he's sweating? And I don't know what he's sweating or why he's sweating, but he doesn't wipe the machine. I will never, ever go to a gym ever again in my life. It's disgusting.
Never going to a gym.
Okay, so Brait is a sell, in other words. Nick, please give us the closing JSE indices.
All right, on this Monday, I don't know why I'm so miserable after quite a solid day, actually, because it actually has been a very good day on the board. So JSE All Share, 0.94% higher, 57,147. Top 40, over a percent higher, 563 points, 52,478. Financials, also a good day. Banks back in favor again after last sell-off. Last week, we were down 6%. So the banks bouncing back. Finney's up 0.62%. And if we look at the individuals, we've got leading us higher, the likes of utilities up 4.7%. Energy shares also solid, 3.5%. Real estate having a good day, 1.58%. Basic materials, the miners, 1% higher. On the downside, no prizes for getting what the biggest lagger is. Gold index down almost 4.5%. Healthcare down 1.82% and industrials down 1.55%.
And the value traded was what?
Value trade was a miserable 19.2 billion value trade.
Yeah, that's not bad. It was 15.5 billion 3-4 weeks ago. Nick Kunzer, thank you very much for your analysis. Entertaining and informative as it was. Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.